the Ultimate Air Race Championship backpedals in the search for credibility. Boeing announces good news and bad. And NBAA is not happy with one airport's new fees. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, June 17, 2011. Organizers of the Ultimate Air Race Championship have moved to distance themselves from both a controversial pilot associated with their program and some of their own previous statements to the press. Among the missteps in the organization's launch, UARC claimed that veteran air show and stunt pilot Corky Fornoff had been named to the board of directors, a claim Corky quickly denied. Another claim that the FAA had approved UARC's program when in fact it had not, and a reference to seven of the world's best pilots being trained for the race, turned out to be pilots with few or no air race credentials. UARC lead pilot David Riggs, described as a world champion pilot and aviation entrepreneur with shaky evidence of either claim, is actually better known for his criminal conviction and FAA certificate suspension following a 250-knot low pass over the Santa Monica Pier in an L-39 to promote a movie in 2008. UARC says it's now removed Riggs from its roster. Assuming the FAA eventually does approve its program, UARC plans its first American event in Camarillo, California, August 20th and 21st. Boeing announced this week it plans to increase the production rate for its next-generation 737 to 42 airplanes per month, up more than 10 planes per month from the current rate of 31.5. Boeing Commercial Airplanes CEO Jim Albaugh credits the popularity of Boeing's new passenger comfort features, noting that since its introduction in May of 2010, the new Boeing Sky interior is specified on more than 80% of new 737 orders. The increase in production rate will reach 35 per month in early 2012, 38 per month in the second quarter of 2013, then 42 per month in the first half of 2014. Elsewhere within Boeing, the company says it will cut about 225 jobs at Boeing Defense, Space, and Security's Maintenance, Modifications, and Upgrades facility in Wichita, Kansas. The reductions are a result of some programs coming to an end and other adjustments in aircraft maintenance cycles. The reductions will take place through the rest of this year through layoffs, normal attrition, and placements elsewhere within the company. The first notices will be sent to about 60 employees today. Boeing HR professionals will help displaced workers with resume writing, interviewing, and other job hunting assistance. The National Business Aviation Association says it has been made aware of a new airport use fee schedule enacted recently at the Southwest Oregon Regional Airport in North Bend. NBAA reps are working with AOPA, which has recently sent inquiries to the airport manager seeking further information regarding the methodology used in developing the fee schedule. It looks to be stacked pretty heavily against business aircraft. Fees range from $10 use fee and $10 overnight fee for single-engine piston planes to a $645 use fee and 4 cents per square foot overnight fees for large biz jets, regional airliners, B-737s, and B-52s. The fee schedule is dated June 7, 2011. NBAA says it will be meeting with the FAA Airport Compliance Division this week to better understand whether the new rate structure meets FAA grant assurances. Up next on ANN, the union election for ramp and fleet workers at United is set for July 7th. Southwest has made its pilot union happy. And Swift Fuel will be put to the test this summer. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, June 17th. I'm Paul Plack. The National Mediation Board has set July 7th as the starting date for a five-week election that will determine which of two unions will represent 14,000 ramp and fleet service workers of the recently merged United and Continental Airlines. The International Association of Machinists currently represents 6,400 fleet service workers at United, while the Teamsters bargains for 7,500 workers employed by what was formerly Continental. Both unions have made their pitches to the combined group. IAM Transportation VP Robert Roach Jr. observes, quote, "This election is all about job security and which union can negotiate the best ramp contract in the airline industry. The IAM negotiated our first United agreement in 1948, and generations of members have been building on it ever since," unquote. The Teamsters invited representatives from IAM to a debate yesterday and made it available via video stream and teleconference for workers from both work groups. David Bourne, director of the Teamsters Airline Division, expressed confidence his union will win the vote. Quote, "We are successful because we listen to our members, identify their issues, and don't back down. We will fight to protect every one of our members' jobs and provide them the best representation in the industry," unquote. The National Mediation Board will announce the vote results on August 11th. Southwest Airlines has had a generally respectful relationship with labor throughout its history, but a recent sore point was the airline's codeshare agreement with SkyWest. In late 2009, the Southwest Airlines Pilots Association ratified a contract with Southwest that prohibits domestic codeshare and greatly restricts codeshare to near international destinations. The airline has now terminated the planned codeshare. The Southwest Airlines Pilots Association said Monday it is pleased. Union President Captain Steve Chase commented, quote, "As a wholly owned subsidiary, AirTran and eventually Southwest have the capability of flying into those markets and delivering superior service. It inspires confidence when your company supports the interests of its employees and is willing to honor their negotiated contract. We are proud of the collaborative partnership we have with Southwest Airlines leadership, and today's announcement is another example of the benefits of that relationship," unquote. Ahead of the official opening of the Paris Air Show at Le Bourget this week, Airbus has introduced its new concept cabin, presented as a vision of what airline flight will be like in the year 2050. The futuristic cabin has seats that morph to match the body shape of the person seated and envisions antioxidant-enriched air, mood lighting, aromatherapy, and acupressure treatments. One interesting innovation is the ability to see through the bottom of the plane to watch the world pass below. There are already people who have to have a few drinks before they can fly. Those with a fear of heights may need a few more. The way the airlines are going, you have to wonder whether panicky flyers will be offered the choice of paying for cabin drinks or paying a new a la carte fee to get opaque floor mats put under their seats. A foul-mouthed New Yorker's language got him removed from an Atlantic Southeastern Airlines flight operating as a Delta codeshare, and now he's threatening to sue the airline. Robert Sayer was returning from a wedding in Kansas City last Saturday and had a layover in Detroit before continuing on to Newark. The flight was delayed, and Sayer and the other passengers were reportedly on the plane for 45 minutes before it finally pushed back from the gate and started to taxi for the runway. The Detroit News reports that Sayer said, quote, "What's taking so F-bomb long to close the overhead compartments?" unquote. The plane returned to the terminal, and airport police escorted Sayer off the flight. He was told he was being disruptive. He was booked to Newark on a later flight. Sayer said, being from Brooklyn, quote, "We use curse words like adjectives," unquote. Sayer is a TV producer and writer whose works include a children's book. Let's hope he employed an editor for his adjectives. And finally today, Swift Fuel, a potential 100-octane unleaded replacement for avgas, will get put to the test in a very public way this summer. Airshow performer Rick Volker will use Swift Fuel during the airshow season in his Sukhoi Su-26M. Quote, "There is a difference in testing fuel during an extreme airshow performance compared with standard general aviation flying. Engines are pushed to fly at the limits of their durability at airshows, at maximum levels of RPM, CHT, oil temperature, manifold pressure, and gyroscopic forces without regard to outside air temperature. The penalty of engine failure is much more severe when an aircraft has an unusual attitude so close to the ground. The crucible of the airshow arena is the perfect testing ground for performance and durability," unquote. Swift Fuel, designated 100SF, is produced through a process that can begin with multiple biomass sources and ends with a high-performance aviation fuel. Volker adds, quote, I want to use Swift Fuel to inject some environmentally responsible awareness and behavior into a particularly wasteful industry, unquote. Really? Considering the ratio of spectators entertained to gallons burned, I'd say a pretty good case could be made for the airshow industry being a pretty efficient form of entertainment. That's the latest from Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.